Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
Anxiety, stress, worry, all these negative things, and put that in your mind and put that in your heart, and what results? A mess. That's what we're talking about. And who's a mess? We are all products of a mess out there. We're talking about mental health issues, and this isn't only for those, that small group there in the corner. That's all of us. We all deal with some of these negative things, and what does Scripture have to say about it? Hi, my name is Justin Kim, and this is Inverse, and in the studio, we got my friends. We're going to talk about this, and they also have messes in their minds and their hearts. We got Joe, and we got Jonathan, and especially Sebastian.
Aloha.
Is with us. Good to be with you guys always.
Yeah.
We're going to have a word of prayer, Sebastian, if you can pray for us. And we do try to mix humor in our conversations, not to take away from Scripture, not to take away from the sobriety of the topic. But sometimes these things get so heavy, we do put a little bit of seasoning in there just to make it, you know, light
and
digestible.
Yeah.
But does not take away from the sobriety and the importance of the topic. Yeah. We all know people that deal with mental health issues. We deal with mental health issues. And it's great that we're bringing this conversation to the forefront. We want to encourage you to go to hooktv.org/inverse. And you can watch and also read and study the previous episodes. You can go to inversebible.org and look at the Bible study guides on renewing your mind. But this episode, we're looking specifically at stress and managing stress. So, Sebastian, can you pray for us that we don't experience stress on this episode?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that you are God that cares not just about the body or the spirit, but also the mind, that you are about full restoration. And now as we turn to the topic of stress, may you be our guide and may the Spirit do exactly what Jesus promised, and that is to guide us into all truth. We love you. We thank you for these gifts, and we offer this prayer from our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm sure we all have those verses that we all personally gravitate towards when we experience stress. But one thing that Jesus is very well known for saying is found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 through 30. And Dr. Reeves, can you read that for us?
Matthew 11, 25, starting that. Or which verse did you ask me?
Yeah, 25 to 30 of chapter 11. Yeah.
You threw him off there with giving him an extra title today.
Oh, yeah. I figured
wasn't sure how to respond to that.
Prophetic exclamation.
Don't stress about it.
Thanks for the credentials.
Yeah.
At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And now these verses we often repeat. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Yeah. Mm. Jonathan, what's your interaction with this passage?
I remember the first times I, you know, intentionally thought about this passage. I was like, what is going on here? Like, he's inviting us to rest, but then like yoking, like isn't that like heavy burdens? Isn't that, you know? But it's not. It's an invitation to join Jesus on his path. To yoke up with him means to essentially be connected to him, because in farming, and I'm not a farmer, so those farmers out there rebuke me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding. Although I'm not sure how many people are actually still using the yoke system and all that, but you connect the two, and in this case, the concept was you connect to Christ, and he keeps you on the path because he's with you. He's carrying, you know, he's carrying the burden with you, and he probably takes most of that, and he keeps us on the straight path. So it's an invitation to join Christ on the pathway of life and find rest in that experience.
Maybe if a yoke isn't a familiar, just let go, lock and lock an arm.
Yeah.
Hold hands, hug, embrace, walk together.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Anyone else? What are your?
I think the key concept with that yoke, locking two oxen together is the oxen's not just free to go wherever he wants. Mm. You know, there is a path that is marked out, and he is pulling with the other oxen, a plow usually. So that's why tractors have replaced yoke today. We use tractors to plow, but the two oxen pull together, a plow behind, you know. But that yoke around their neck meant that oxen couldn't just wander anywhere. It was going somewhere down the furrow of the field.
Mm-hmm. You know, this verse comes to mind when I'm usually on a plane and I look down, and there are these moments when you look down in a city, a ginormous city, and you look at all the houses and all the people there, and then, you know, the higher you go up, it just gets smaller and smaller, and you're like, man. You ever ask yourself the question, like, what are they all doing down here? Or it may not just be a city, but you go into the middle of like some like, you know, I don't know, some rural area. I'm like, what do people do? Why are they here? Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, I just get into these existential questions. They're like, what is the point of life? Like, what do people do? Like, why are we on this earth? Like, these guys are just, they're getting 9-to-5 jobs. They're getting their lunches. They're trying to get, you know, their emails, and they're scrambling around to get into their Uber, and then they sleep and they do the next thing the same day. Mm-hmm. Why do they do that? And it makes me ask the question, like, what drives us to do the things that, like, why do we work, you know? And here Jesus is not he's not just saying like, hey guys, you had a rough day, just take a breather, man. Like, this isn't a temporary rest thing.
Right.
This is linking up with him is a recalibration of your entire life.
Yeah.
So that this rest that you're experiencing isn't just temporary rest from a hard day, but this is a rest that you experience while with Jesus living on this earth for the rest of your life.
Yeah, the rest in the Bible, the concept of rest is huge. And it is not just, it can be the temporary rest of just not working, but it goes beyond as a spiritual element. There is a meta level to all of this in the concept that, in the context that we live in, with sin being a reality in our lives, all the burdens that come with our, you know, dreadful estate, so to say, as human beings that have no hope without God. God is saying, I will give you rest beyond just the temporary rest. I will give you spiritual rest, because I will deal with the anxieties and stress that come from, you know, sin and all these things that you cannot deal with. I have dealt with it for you in Jesus, and I'm inviting you into that rest experience. So having rest in Jesus, what Jesus talks about here, coming into that rest, that is a... It's going, being able to go through life with a general attitude of joy and a peace to know that you are safe in God. This does not mean there will not be things that are troubling or making you unrestful. You know, like there will be those moments for physical unrest, but having that general baseline of, I am God's child. I am a son, a daughter of the King. That gives you peace, and that helps you to deal with the other external things that may happen in a totally different way than if you don't have that anchor, if you don't have that cushion, so to say, to fall back on, the support from God. So Jesus invites us into a much more deeper experience when he says, come to me, you know, you're heavy laden, I will give you rest. That is a promise of spiritual rest, a promise of a peace that cannot be produced by any of our work, not even with a lot of money. I mean, money can give you some sense of security. You know, you know you can deal with, you know, uncertainties when they come. You have the money to whatever. But it will never be the same as the rest that Jesus can give. So that we're talking about an invitation into something incredible, something that money cannot buy, you cannot produce, that is a gift from God that comes to you if you take the promise of Jesus seriously.
You know, I think it's interesting to look at rest in the context of who he's speaking to, right? The invitation to rest is not ubiquitous. mm-hmm. right? His condition, he says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Mm. Certain people are not going to come to Jesus if they don't feel like they're laboring and heavy laden. To me, the rest that Jesus talks about, if we want to do a, you know, sort of, you know, tit for tat transition of what this meaning is the rest is the opposite of being heavy laden. It's not the opposite of labor, because he says you labor and are heavy laden. Mm-hmm. But then he goes and says, yoke with me and learn of me. You're still going to labor. You're still going to serve, yes. but you're no longer heavy laden. Mm. And I think that when we think about rest and mental health, so many times, and we've talked about this on previous episodes, that the coping mechanisms we use are forms of rest in our minds that still leave us with the same burdens. Yeah. And that's the difference what Jesus is offering. You can go escape into these things, into alcohol, into the bottle, into drugs, into pornography, mm-hmm. into film, into the gym, whatever it is. You're going into those things, but guess what? You return with the same burdens
yeah.
that you had, because you got to put that yoke back on. Mm. And I think that's what weighs down the mental health of many people, is that they're struggling just to survive, right? You're just struggling, like Justin was saying, you get up, yeah. you do the same thing every day, and you will have an existential crisis when mm-hmm. you feel that you're stuck in a cycle. And I'm just going through the same
without
thing.
Without purpose, without yeah. direction.
That's mm-hmm. right, the whole Sisyphus thing of pushing up the stone, but you never yeah. get to the top, right? Mm-hmm. And the question is, why keep pushing the stone?
Right.
And I think some people arrive at that place.
Yeah, they come into a very logical conclusion. Mm. Why am I doing
There's
this?
No
what
point.
Is the point of yeah. this? Maybe this is all just done for, and they get into some dark answers.
Yeah.
And I think they just desire rest. It reminds me, I was going door to door, and this guy was a Satanist. And I was asking him, like, well, have you always been a Satanist? And he said, no, I was actually a Christian just like you. I used to do ministry. I used to do outreach. I used to study the Bible, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, well, what happened? And he says, well, all of a sudden I started having all these problems in my life. Mm. And it was just, this was going wrong. My marriage is in problems. My kids were getting bullied. Then all of a sudden my boss is cutting my hours, cutting my pay, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, I started having all these problems. And he said, I just got tired. Mm. And so he said, you know what? If I just join the devil, he'll leave me alone. And I said, did it work? And he said, the same day, all of these problems went away.
Wow.
All of these problems went away in his life. Mm-hmm. And the recognition that so many people like this man, he is articulating something that a lot of people feel, that they just get tired.
Mm-hmm. So what should they do, Sebastian? I mean, you've painted a picture. We're like, wow, is that right? Is that what all it takes to get all my problems away?
Well, definitely, that's a good point. And I don't want to make it seem like join the devil and did all your problems disappear. But more so in the sense that there's a spiritual dimension to the fact that the devil is, there's a great controversy element to why sometimes these things may multiply in our lives.
Yeah.
There is someone trying to discourage us, yeah. walking like a
yeah,
roaring lion.
A spiritual warfare, you're saying.
Correct. And so I think the remedy, going back mm-hmm. to Jesus's invitation, is that this recognition that Jesus can help you carry these burdens.
Yeah.
That's the yoke.
You know what I've noticed, like, I don't know, just really quick to respond, is that when I ask help from God, God often doesn't remove these problems. He doesn't remove these barriers. What he does, he gives me strength to get through those barriers. He gives me endurance to get over these things, which in the end, it strengthens me, right? It's mm-hmm. it's not just the Lord takes care of these problems and poof, and it leaves me weaker, which is what a relief that Satan is offering. Hey, I'll remove these things and you're just the same person. You return. There's no growth there. I think there's a huge difference in that. And mm-hmm. one's really motivated by development, love, of bettering of yourself, and the other is not, right? Other
That's
is
right.
A weakening of
yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. Okay. I think
to steal your comment.
No, that's totally fine. I don't what this man in your situation, which I don't think that's always the case, but this guy may have had rest from external factors or stuff
right.
like that. But we're not.
Had,
this
he
is
did not,
not
have internal peace.
This is not the quality of rest that Jesus is talking about here. And yep. if you want that mediocre, sure, but then you have the mediocre that may last for a little while and no outlook in life, mm-hmm. no purpose, no mm-hmm. eternity. Mm-hmm. Here we're talking about a quality that, as you said, gives you rest to and strength mm-hmm. to deal with the stresses of life, the anxieties of life, and will give you growth, and you will grow, you know, mm-hmm. your capacity to love, all these things that make your life flourish. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus is offering here. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful invitation that, you know,
I think we yearn for, like, to get away, we avoid, and then Jesus doesn't want to do conflict avoidance. I mean, he helps us get through. Like, through is like the operative preposition for me. Like, through. Whether that's over or under or aside, I mean, it's just getting through it is what he's all about. But we are all about away, you know, like, just
avoid.
Cancel, avoid, nix this all together.
You know, it reminds me when I went to this CrossFit gym. And then my friends were like, hey, just try it out. I've never been like a CrossFit person. And I said, sure, I'll try it out. And one of the coaches, she's like a CrossFit athlete. Like, she competes in all the games and all this stuff. And while you're like dying, going through this workout, and, you know, a person's just like, man, does this ever get easier? Like, people come here every day to do these workouts. And her response is, it never gets easier, but you get stronger. Mm. That's the difference. Mm. And I think it was such a great way to encapsulate when we're going through experiences with Jesus. Mm-hmm. When you go without Jesus, right, it doesn't get easier and you get weaker, right? You're just running out of energy. Mm-hmm. But when you yoke up with Christ,
yes,
and like you were referencing, it's like he's not taking it away. He's making you a stronger Christian, a stronger person. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to necessarily always get easier, but you will get stronger.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I think that's such a beautiful offer that Jesus
And it's all
gives.
Tempered in the wisdom and in the mercy of God. Mm-hmm. He does strength. You know, he is there to strengthen. There are moments where he realizes that we have no strength at all.
Yeah.
And so there are times where, I mean, I love the yoking concept is a great one because there are times where he does carry you.
The heavier load, yeah.
Like he knows when you need to be carried and he carries you. But there are times where he knows you don't need to be carried. You can handle this. Mm. And there's other times that you can't handle it, but I'll give you strength so that you know. And so this is all based on the relationship with God. It's a dynamic relationship and it's not this one prescription for every situation either.
And the promise in verse 29 is that
29.
He says, you know, take your yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle.
Yeah.
So the whole process, Jesus is he is the most gentle, you know, being in the universe. Mm-hmm. He knows how to help us, how to have this yoke connection when plowing through life. He knows what
no pun intended.
Yeah. he knows exactly how, you know, how to adjust the
settings.
Yeah, settings to make it bearable for us and restful at the same time. Mm-hmm. And as you said, you get more strength. You have the ability to handle things, and your character develops. It's a beautiful concept. And what a promise. This is not a subscription you pay for monthly. It's not something that, you know, that is Jesus is gatekeeping. He's inviting everyone into that experience and saying, come to me. I will be part of this.
I think it's also important that, you know, as we're talking about building strength through these different experiences, right? We also, given the quarter we're exploring of renewing the mind, like, we also have to think about being heavy laden and having a burden that requires the rest that Jesus is offering is often burdens that we all carry that we cannot address, that we are like, I can't carry this.
I want to talk a little bit about these burdens. Like, what are these burdens? We kind of frame them in terms of like work. Is it secular work? Is it also mental taxing, anxiety? We did talk about anxiety last episode. Or, you know, scripture also talks about the burden of sin, right?
Yes.
And also the spiritual component on this. And then there's also, Joe, like, there are not all stress is bad, right? There's also stress that's good. Can you ever be heavy laden with good stress? Like, I guess we can explore that world a bit.
Yeah, you know, when there's a stressful situation, we've kind of been brushing up against this idea a little bit already, but it's not necessarily that we need to run from the stressful situation. Stressful situations sometimes are good. It could be a new job. It could be a move. It could be
marriage,
having a kid.
Yeah. Most two definitely. Kids, three kids, four
hey,
kids.
We don't have a female on here, but we can talk about it. The bad too.
Absolutely.
So, but these are situations that are stressful and that can take a toll on the body, but they're not necessarily situations we want to avoid. We want to embrace it and find the rest in the midst or in spite of that stress because we're growing through it. And so some of the burdens that we carry are good burdens that we need to carry. They could be responsibilities, and that's a burden.
But that's a good word.
That God has placed a certain responsibility on us. We don't want to just cast that off. We want Him to give us the strength to carry that.
That's huge.
Let's go into practical.
I just want to say this passage is one of the passages in Scripture, one of the preeminent passages where whenever I read it, I feel like Jesus is speaking directly to me. You know, like this people call this the invitation. You know, like, come to me, Joe, for you are heavy laden. And when I read the context of the chapter, the earlier in the chapter, Jesus is facing a lot of rejection. And he's been in Bethsaida and Chorazin and these towns and calling them to repentance, and they're not. And he said, it's going to be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than it is for you guys. And so I feel this warmth and love of Jesus and this invitation, but an earnestness. I don't know if desperation is going too far, but Jesus is like, is anybody going to listen to this invitation? Is anybody going to accept this? Like, I'm offering you something good. I'm offering rest for your souls. And this, he broadens it to the whole world and to all generations. That's why I feel it personally to me. So many just pass by or go the other direction. Jesus is like, come on, is anybody going to take this?
So I just
feel that draw when I read this passage.
I want to reiterate that we are not medical professionals on this, but we say in every episode in this quarter that there is a space where the Bible and spirituality and theology and religion that overlaps with the professional world of medicine, and there's the two can inform each other. And so there are levels of stress that the Bible totally addresses, but there's other areas where you may need to see a professional, and that we don't want to override that in any way, but work in complement with that. Jonathan?
Yeah, you were asking about different kinds of, you know, burdens and things we labor, and I think they're on a philosophical or general point of view. You have most people in the world who have not experienced redemption in Jesus. They have to deal with the constant attempts. They have to constantly attempt to make up for what they're lacking because they don't have Christ. So that is a feeling, you know, dealing with guilt and shame, dealing with a feeling of self-worth and how they view themselves. So they're constantly going through all these wheels, trying to make up for what cannot be made up without Christ. And so that is a heavy burden if you're trying to make yourself give yourself self-worth because, you know, how you feel about yourself. What are you going to do? You're going to do all these extra things and all this and that and this and that. You're trying to build this self-righteousness in order to make up for what only Christ can give. And that is a huge burden. That is a burden that is very hard to carry. Some people are, you know, they're stuck in those, just in those wheels in every day just to make up for, to get some kind of kick that makes them feel a little better. When you come to Jesus, all this stuff will fade away eventually. Because you will find complete peace in who you are in Him. You will recognize the incredible worth you have in His eyes. All these things, and then of course your sin problems are take care of. Your shame and guilt melts away in Jesus. So that is something that I think is a heavy burden for many without them even realizing, where Jesus' rest is that comes in redemption.
So amen to all that, Jonathan. Yeah. What are practical ways to access that? We've been talking about stress and Jesus' comments here, but like how do we connect person who is stressed out, mom of four, dad who's, you know, working hours, or a mom who's working hours and a dad of four, you know, whatever. How do we connect that with Jesus's invitation here? Yeah, they're trying to get a kick. They're trying to do it, but on a very low level, you know, connect the two. Let's explore that for a bit.
Go ahead, Sebastian.
Well, I was just going to mention you know, practically inviting Jesus into all of these pursuits, right, that Jonathan has mentioned, and even into the vulnerable places in your life. Mm-hmm. I think for me, drives home or quiet moments where I have, you know, sometimes instead of opening your phone and saying, I have 10, 15 minutes, let me just look to see what's on Instagram or check something out or text or whatever. It's like, let me just sit down and open my heart to Christ in that moment.
In prayer.
Or just in, you know, open conversation. Mm-hmm. I think journaling is another great way to reflect upon what you're feeling through a stream of consciousness and just say, you know, Lord, this is what I'm carrying right now. And then I think the last piece is sometimes I have to ask myself what I'm feeling, right? Yeah. And to reground myself, because many times I can be physically somewhere, but I'm emotionally somewhere else.
I find like in the West, we always find out ways to compartmentalize and separate. We create boundaries to a large degree. That's so needed and necessary. And it helps organize your life. But in other areas, it does disconnect purpose and aim and leaves these things disconnected. Mm-hmm. So that if I'm overburdened at work, I need to take some time, like you said, but not take time and just kind of like relax, but take time and think, why am I working? What is the purpose of my work? Yeah. How does, when I'm overburdened with kids, like why do I have kids? What is the purpose of kids? Is it just merely for me to feed them and then take their diapers away until they're 18 and get them out of the house?
Yes.
No, there's a larger purpose. And then once you know that, then you're like, Lord, that informs my prayer.
Yeah,
yeah,
Lord, absolutely.
I need strength to help me raise my boys in a way that I'm just not getting through the day. Yeah. I'm not just trying to get them in bed so I have my personal time and get on my phone for five minutes. It's, I want to be a godly example. I want to teach them how to read so they can read the Bible. Like thinking through these things
can help.
And stress doesn't allow us to think through these things. We just want to get get it over with.
That's true.
Another thing where I think that is really practical can be to ask God to give us wisdom for everyday decisions, to know when to say yes, when to say no to things.
Yeah,
that's
huge.
That will, you know, that will give us, instead of just saying yes to everything because it makes us feel needed. Mm-hmm. No, like, Lord, what should I say yes to? What should I say no to? That can alleviate a lot of the stress in our life as well, just on a very practical level.
Joe?
No, I was just affirming that.
Oh, he's saying no to you. So Joe is already implementing some of the tactics we talked about. He's like, no, I don't want to talk. How many of you out there need grace and strength to do what Jonathan said, to say yes to the things that matter and no to things that don't matter? How many of you need time to say, Lord, I need you to be Lord in all these areas where I'm just way too stressed out on? And we pray, and that's for us and also for you out there, that you have the mind of God and have perfect health, especially in your mind. We're going to continue this conversation as in our next episode, we're going to look at the concept and the ideas and maybe the practical elements all around grief. And so we have all experienced grief in one way or another. You won't want to miss it here on Inverse. God bless you guys.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.